Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that last point, though, is really important. Whatever sector of transportation, keeping our workforce safe as they provide us transportation is a key thing that I hope we continue to spend time and focus on. The hearing gives us obviously a lot to cover here on the broad spectrum of people, so you'll excuse me if I have to jump around between a couple of different issues here, but let's start with you, Mr. Soskin. The independence of your job is critically important. A recent GAO report highlighted that the IG must be independent both of mind and in appearance, and earlier this year, the president abruptly removed the DOT acting IG, a career official, and installed a politically appointed PHMSA administrator to fill both of those roles simultaneously. The GAO has specifically expressed concerns about whether this situation is inconsistent, that it's not being consistent with the independence requirements generally accepted for auditing and standards and other professional standards. Would you agree that the abrupt removal of the acting IG and replacing him with a political appointment creates an appearance of bias?
Senator, I don't know the specific facts and circumstances around the personnel and custodial decision, but I do know that the GAO to have Deputy Inspector General Dean return to his role, just as the Deputy Inspector General
can speak to is my qualifications and my commitment to you to be an objective and independent voice to combat waste, fraud, and abuse, and to oversee the Office of Inspector General with integrity if confirmed. I've spent 14 years as a career civil servant in the Department of Justice across three administrations, and I've been entrusted with politically sensitive matters and to have hard conversations throughout that time. I am prepared to continue to do so and to act objectively as the Inspector General, if confirmed.
So if you're confirmed, would you talk about not interfering in investigations involving the Secretary or political appointees of the Department?
I will serve with objectivity and integrity. I'm not sure I totally understood your question, but
do you agree that you will not interfere with investigations involving the secretary or political appointees at the department? So if somebody comes in and investigates the secretary or a political appointee at the department and outside, yeah.
We will investigate all allegations and all issues without fear or favor. And without regard to whether it involves a political nominee or not. The public is entitled to have oversight of everyone in the Department of Transportation, including political appointees.
So you wouldn't interfere if there was another investigation? I should put this in writing because I think you're hesitating, and I want to make sure that I'm clear about what I'm asking, and then you can respond in writing for the record to that. That would be helpful. I remain very concerned about what happened there and, well, very concerned about various positions within the administration that I think are overly political. But let's go to the Amtrak organization and the two nominees that we have here. Obviously, Amtrak is critical for millions of people. And for us, the two lines, Washington State, the Coast Starlight, and the Empire Builder, they serve 15 communities and a majority of them being small and rural communities. So I would like to ask the nominees, what kind of commitment can we get that you're going to preserve the Amtrak long distance service and the economic lifeline that it provides to rural communities? Mr. Coos or Ms. Feinberg?
Go ahead, Mr. Coos.
Thank you. Senator Cantwell, I'm very committed to the national network, the long distance trains. Without those trains, we don't have a national network. And I think it's crucial for the function of Amtrak. And I think people sometimes gloss over the long distance routes as saying they're from point A to point Z. But a lot of people don't realize the use those trains get for shorter distances along that corridor, and it's a critical part of our daily operations. I understand the need right now to be prudent about the frequency of those routes in a COVID-19 world, but I'm strongly committed to at such time as we can safely travel through this country without the fear of COVID-19 to returning daily service on the long distance routes.
Ms. Feinberg, commitment to preserving the long distance service?
Yes, Senator, thank you for the question. You have my commitment. I'm from a small town in a rural state myself, and from West Virginia, and I'm well aware of the importance of that long distance service to those communities, and also just the station and the employees there acting as touch points for the community. Here's my commitment.
So in 2017, we had a horrific accident which claimed the lives of 3 individuals and injured 65 people. The chairman of the NTSB, Robert Sumwell, provided an ominous warning about the Amtrak safety culture. He said, quote, "Amtrak safety culture is failing and is primed to fail again until and unless Amtrak changes its ways and safety management." The former CEO, Richard Anderson, testified about improving the safety culture. And so this is a very big issue. I think you probably are both aware of the DuPont accident that happened along with the train derailed onto I-5 and shut down I-5. And it was a maiden voyage through a new route that speed control and awareness just didn't seem to be there. And it was a very costly accident both to life and to property. So will you ensure that reforming the safety culture, I get positive train control, it's going to help us, but that we have a safety culture that remains a top priority at Amtrak?
Absolutely.
Mr. Coos?
With that, the safety culture is critical for an effective and safe system.
Okay. Well, I would hope that I'm going to ask a follow-up of that in writing exactly how you would continue to focus on that. I think that we definitely want to have service. We definitely have big challenges with COVID. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.